Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6, and verse 37. We'll continue our study of the life of Jesus. Luke, chapter 6, and verse 37. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word the teachings of Jesus? Today, the title for the message is Dodging Ditches. Luke chapter 6 verse 37 begins and says, Jesus is teaching here, of course, judge not, and you shall be not judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Excuse me. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. Jesus used a word there, ditches, and being the country boy that I am, I can relate to ditches, okay? I was raised on a country road, a gravel road, all right? Now, I'm not talking, and maybe there are some younger people here today that don't know what a gravel road is, but let me tell you about a gravel road. Speed and gravel do not mix, okay? As a young man, there were once or twice that I found that out the hard way, because I would get to going down the road, and especially that freshly graded gravel road. You get to running down that baby, and all of a sudden your car gets to go in one direction, and you steer to correct, and your car does not respond. And you keep headed for that ditch, and headed for that ditch, and headed for, till finally you just clean that rascal out with the side of your car. And that's embarrassing. Okay, that is so embarrassing. How many of you, and you're there, you know, you can't, and okay, I was raised in the Delta, the farming country, and so, you know, every year they'd dig those ditches out, and they were about head high, and once you plowed your car off in there, you're done, okay? The only hope you had was when some nice neighbor fella would come by, and of course, everybody, where I grew up, is country. You had a chain in the back of your truck, okay? And you just hoped that good neighbor would come by and pull you out of there, because you were done until that happened. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been spiritually in the ditch? Ran off the road, the path that of closeness and relationship to God, and you just plowed through the ditch, and you've stopped, and you're just stuck. Not going forward, not going backward, not making any progress, and it looks hopeless. Well, today I want to help you out of the ditch. I want to help you to dodge the ditches. Because one of the major causes of Christians in the ditch, Jesus covers in the text that we read. It's judging, it's condemning, it's the lack of forgiveness, the lack of giving. Today, we're going to get out of the ditch. Amen? All right, and we start by realizing, number one, that everyone has a past. How many of you have a past? Would you just raise your hands and say amen? Amen. Amen. The rest of you died some time ago. You don't have a past, right? Everyone has a past. Everyone has skeletons in the closet. If you'll notice in the outline, there are a lot of blanks because I wanted you to do a lot of writing today so you'd remember what we're covering, okay? But everyone has skeletons in the closet. Things that we're not proud of. Things that we would do differently if we could go over and redo it. Things that we could take back if we could, but we can't take back. We've hurt people. We've committed sin. We've made mistakes. And the problem is we can't undo it. What do we do with them? What do we do about it? How do you deal with my past? Did you know your pastor has a past? I do. Question I have for you is, how are you going to deal with my past? I don't know about you, but I like to remember things. I like to remember things that happened 5 years ago. Because one of these days, somebody's going to point a finger at me. And when they point a finger at me, I've got ammunition. I draw out real quick. Well, let me tell you about you. You know what I mean? I like holding grudges. I say I like it. I don't know if I like it. Maybe there's just a natural tendency for me to hold grudges. Okay? Kind of the human factor. Well, I'll dismiss it, but I'm going to remember it. And I'll not let you hurt me that way again. What am I doing? I'm holding a grudge. Actually, what I've done is I've ran in the ditch spiritually. I'm going nowhere fast. And my spiritual life becomes empty. And I like to hold those grudges until I read this text today. This text that tells me, do not judge and do not condemn. Now these two words, judging and condemning, are very closely related in that the word judge is a legal term. And it's just like we would know the judge that sits in the court today. It's talking about, don't be that guy that's sitting on the bench who would examine the case of another individual to decide guilt or innocence. A judge. The word condemn means to pass sentence. So as it's used here, as Jesus says, don't do these things, he's saying, don't act as judge, jury, and executioner. Why? Because we make our judgments and our condemnations rashly based on our opinions, often unfairly and with prejudice. See, oftentimes we make our judgments and condemnations based on how we feel or what we think. Do you have that problem? No, not us. Not us. We don't judge. We don't condemn and understand, okay? Let me qualify this message when I'm talking about judging, all right? I have heard people say, you know, as we would preach against sin and they would back up and say, well, who are you to judge me? The Bible says, do not judge. That is the most outrageous application of Scripture that you can possibly do. That is the greatest way that you can bend a Scripture and try to make it what you want it to say. I'm not judging when God says, thou shalt not. It's sin. Okay? And it is my job to preach against that, and it is your job to live contrary to that. All right? It's our job to stand against sin. So that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about, as I said, are rash, unjustified opinions of judgment. And most of us really don't think we have a problem with it. But let me ask you this. Have you ever been driving down the road and see that guy in another car? His hair's a little long. He's driving an old beat-up pickup. Music's a little loud. He looks a little scruffy. What's the first thought that comes to mind? Yeah. Amen? Or you're going down the road, you see that homeless guy on the side of the interstate with his bag saying, I'll work for food, and his sign saying, I'll work for food. And what's the first thought? Wonder what you did to deserve living like this. See, those are judgments based upon our own feelings. What about skin color? You know, there are people who don't like other people because of their skin color. There are white people that don't like black people. Black people don't like white people. There are Hispanics that don't like black. Based on skin color. How absolutely ignorant is that? Amen? Amen. those who are different. I mean, we all know that we've got our act together. Everybody should be like us, right? When that fella comes in wearing those baggy jeans, I want to say, I'll buy you a new pair if you go to the store with me. What am I? I'm judging. Sometimes if I'm not careful, I'll even condemn. What about those who have offended us? Those who have offended you in your past. What are you doing with that? Are you holding the grudge? You know, the amazing thing to me is how we will hold a grudge over petty, insignificant things. Well, he lost his temper, and you know what he said to me? Who cares? Right? Right? You hang around anyone long enough, they're going to lose their temper. Amen? You know? Yes, even the preacher. I pray I could do it with grace, but you see what I'm saying? And we hold on to these things, these judgments, these condemnations. I'll never be close to you again. I'll never spend time with you again. I'll never have anything to do with you again. Well, folks, I remind you that we all have a past. We've all done things to hurt somebody, or people have done things to hurt us. What we've got to do is we've got to make a decision. A decision of, are we going to stay in the ditch, or are we going to be removed from the ditch and go forward? Are we going to hold that grudge, or are we going to love in spite of our sins and our failures? Because if we don't learn to move forward, folks, we're done spiritually. You see? A decision has to be made. Because not only do we all have a past, we all have a future. You say, Brother Doug, maybe not. One of these days you're going to die. Then what will your future be? I'll have a good future then. I'll be in heaven. Okay? It's going to be good then. But we all have a future. We all have a future. And as I was preparing this, the thought came to my mind, you know, if I do die tomorrow and I go to heaven and I see Jesus, my Savior, the one who gave His life for me, the one who bled and died to pay for my sin debt, the one who said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The first time if I lay eyes on Jesus, what if standing beside Jesus is that person who fired me up when I was on earth? What if that person who offended me is standing beside Jesus? Oh, I'll meet Jesus later. Doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't. Do you realize? And I'm not preaching. Understand, this is just next in the series of messages. I'm not preaching this aimed at anybody. However, if the shoe fits, you do need to put it on. Because you've either been offended or you're going to be offended. All right? It's going to apply to you one of these days. We all have a future. And in this future, what we've got to learn is to let it go. Let it go. Three very simple words. Let it go. That's why Jesus said, forgive. Don't judge, don't condemn, but forgive and you will be forgiven. That word forgive literally means release, set free, pardon, or let go. That's what we need to do. Do you realize, are you forgiven? If you're forgiven by God, say amen. Amen. Do you know why God forgave you? Do you know the point of forgiveness? The point of forgiveness is not so that you will not go to hell. The point of forgiveness is not so that you don't have to live with guilt and the condemnation of your sin. You know the point of God's forgiveness? The point of God's forgiveness is that you may have a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's the point of forgiveness. That's why He forgave you. That's why He gave His Son to die in your place. So that you could have a personal relationship with Him. And if you don't forgive and learn how to forgive, you can't have a relationship with others, not a consistent relationship with others, and you can't have a consistent, good relationship with God. You see, the aim of forgiveness is always to restore broken relationships. The person has hurt you, let it go. The person has mistreated you, let it go. If we don't learn to let it go, what we're going to do is that bitterness and that anger is going to build over time. And pretty soon we're going to come to the point where we can't feel anything anymore. Because every time we live and we go out and we fellowship with one another, or we have interaction with other people, every time we see that individual, the first thought that's going to come to mind is, that guy did that to me. That anger is going to start all over again. That bitterness is going to build. Oh, but look what happens when we figure out how to let it go. Look what happens when we figure out. Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. You see the future tense there? Forgive and you will be forgiven. Do you realize how you deal with people today will determine your tomorrow? Hold a grudge and people will look for a grudge to hold against you. Not only that, but hold a grudge against them and God will hold a grudge against you. You know, one of the saddest things I've seen in ministry is a 50-year-old feud. There are people in churches today who are mad at other people because their great-grandpa got into an argument with the other family's great-grandpa, and they've been enemies ever since. How silly is that? How silly is that? I want to tell you something. It starts somewhere, though. It starts somewhere, and it is passed down. And we're going to get into that a little bit later, but I want you to understand, if you don't learn to let it go, you're going to carry it. You're going to become bitter. And you're going to deal with it every day of this life. And this life is too short to be miserable because you don't know how to let it go and forgive. And besides that, if you're carrying those grudges, your relationship with God is not right. Brother Doug, are you judging? No. I'm sharing with you Scripture. We want to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Jesus had been teaching His disciples how to pray. And He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. I like that. And that's where I want to be. Amen. How about you? I want to, when I call on God, forgive me. Please forgive me. I want to have that forgiveness. I want to be released of that sin debt. But you know there's a verse 15 to this. And verse 15 says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, and let's chew on this for just a moment so it sinks very deeply. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do not walk around acting like Mr. Holy or Mrs. Spiritual. Acting like you and God are the best of buddies when you're holding a grudge. It does not work. It's Bible. I'm not judging. I'm simply sharing with you so that you may know the joy of the Lord. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. If you're not forgiving, you're not right with God. Brother Doug, you don't understand what they've done. I don't care what they've done. This is not a qualifying verse. It's not if they, you know, forgive them if they... It's not. Jesus very simply said, you forgive them because I forgive you. And you know, when I consider it from that viewpoint, I think about God's forgiveness toward me. That when I was an enemy of God, an enemy according to the Bible, that God showed His love toward me in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Romans 5:8. And I look back and when I start thinking of holding a grudge towards somebody else, I've got to look back and I've got to think, you know, the things that I've done, Christ died for me anyway. He forgave me anyway. No matter. God said, I love you. You can't carry a grudge and be right with God. 1 John 4:20 says, for if someone says, I love God. Now grab this. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a what? Okay, I want to do this again because I want you to go with me on this journey. Okay? If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a
liar.
I want you to let this sink way deep within your heart. And I want you to look and think about your past and dealing with people. And I want to ask you this. Who are you holding grudges against? Who are you holding grudges against? Maybe it's old friends. Maybe it's church members. Maybe it's brothers and sisters and families. And, you know, who are you holding the grudge against? Don't act like things are right with you and God when you're holding these grudges. Well, if that's the way it is, I'll just continue and won't be right with God. How dumb is that? How silly is that? God said, I love you. And I give my Son so that you may have eternal life. God said, I forgive you so that I may have a relationship with you. And you don't want that relationship with God so you can nurse the bitterness of unforgiveness? How silly. Amen? How silly that is. No. We've got to learn to let it go. We've got to learn to get rid of it. Once we figure out this grudge holding and this unforgiveness is not in my best interest, then we learn to live to give. You know, the next verse we often use to talk about money, but it's really not in the money context. All right? Verse 38. It says, give. Give. And it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, I do believe this does apply to our financial giving. But I also believe, to keep it in the context that Jesus is offering this, he's talking about ministry. He's talking about life. He's talking about having a willingness to forgive. He's talking about what goes around comes around. Or comes around goes around, whichever direction that statement goes, right? You want to withhold forgiveness? God will withhold forgiveness from you. You want to withhold forgiveness? Somewhere along the way, somebody's going to hold that grudge against you. What goes around comes around. And with whatever measure, I like this, whatever standard, whatever measuring tape you use, how forgiving you want to be, how ministering you want to be, whatever you use to measure out your ministry to other people, that's what's going to come back to you. Do you want God to be generous towards you and forgive me? Do you want God to bless you? We've got to get a hold of this idea of not judging, not condemning, and forgiving. Because you see, it just leaves us in the ditch. It leaves us in the ditch. The ditch with defective leaders. Jesus made the comment, he said, can the blind lead the blind? What a statement. That word lead, it means to guide or to direct a person with the intent of making him reach an appropriate destination. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Absolutely he can. Will the blind man lead the other blind man into the ditch? Absolutely. That's where they're going. What in the world is it talking about? You are a spiritual leader. If you're a young person, you have friends. If you're a mom, a dad, you have children. And you are leading people. And if there's a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of unforgiveness, you're leading them into the ditch. They're going to be there with you. I've often wondered and thought, you know, we talk about love, but how often has our children heard as we crucify people at the dinner table? How often has others hurt us as we've talked about our Bible study teacher? Well, he's a pretty good fellow, but he's really not all that sharp. Pastors, associate pastors, friends, other people, you know. What you've got to understand is that there are people who look up to you. Your children look up to you. And when they hear you do it and claim to be right with God, then that opens the door for them to do the same thing. You know what we need today? We need people that understand agape love. God love. Realizing that, yes, we all have a past. Realizing that in spite of that past, I'm going to love you anyway. Period. And not just in the church, but outside the church. Can you love the sinner? Can you love the sinner? I want to tell you something, and you know me very well, or most of you know me very well by now. There are things that I will take a stand against in a heartbeat. If God says it's sin, and I will, you know, I do not bend on that. However, if there's someone caught up in an ungodly lifestyle, my goal when I talk to them is I'm not going to get in their face and say, "You're going to burn in hell if you don't change your ways." First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to show them that I care. Hopefully, I'm going to show them that God cares. And hopefully, in dealing with them, I can bring them back into a right relationship with God. Can you do that? Can you do that? You see, anything else is just being a defective leader. And being a defective leader, we're going to lead other disciples into the ditch. If you'll notice in the last verse, verse 40, it says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly," and that word perfectly, "completes his training." Everyone who is completely trained will be what? Will be like his master. Whoa. Whoa. Do you realize that you're making more of you? I mean, think about it. Grandparents, parents, your children are growing. And I know, you know, it's really funny. "I'm not going to be like my daddy." Yeah, right. Keep up. You know, hang in there with that idea. See how it works out for you. You're creating disciples. If I were going to teach you how to drive a car, and I did not drive a car myself, okay? And I approach you and I say, "I want to teach you, I can teach you how to drive a car." You say, "Do you have any experience?" I say, "Well, yeah. I've read the State of Arkansas Driver's Manual from cover to cover. I've read the book over and over. I've read it, and I can teach you how to drive a car." You're going to back up and you're going to think, "Really? Have you ever driven?" "No, but I've read the book. I've read the book. I've read the owner's manual for a multitude of different cars. I know how they work because I've read." Are you going to let me teach you how to drive? You're going to say, "Get away from me, preacher. You don't have a clue." You know, one of my greatest fears as a pastor, as a parent, as a grandparent, is that we read the book over and over, And we preach about the way it should be. But we never put it into practice. We never love with a Jesus love. Overlooking the faults of others. Caring for those who are lost in sin. Actually making a difference. I fear that our kids see parents reading the book and never putting into practice the love of God. Friends, that's not acceptable. Jesus said, John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also have love one to another. By this will all know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's inside here. Jesus also said that you should love your neighbor as yourself. As a child of God, our life should be saturated in love and caring for other people, in spite of the fact that they're sinners. Because we all have a past. And if you're a child of God, you've experienced the forgiveness. Now it's your job to pass that forgiveness on. To live the love of Jesus Christ. Is that what you're doing? If not, maybe time for a change today. Maybe you're here today and you've never even made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, I'm so glad you're here because I want to share Jesus. I want to share the love of God with you by telling you about Jesus, the Son of God, who came to this earth and lived a perfect and a sinless life because you're not perfect and you're not sinless. And after living that perfect and sinless life, He went to the cross of Calvary, was brutally crucified. Nails in hands and feet, whipped, mocked, spit upon, crown of thorns. And you know what? He did it all for you because you're a sinner. Said, "I'll take His place. I'll take your place." The Bible tells us greater love is no man than he lay down his life for a friend. That's what Jesus has done for you. So that you could have forgiveness. So that you could understand the forgiveness that I've been preaching on today. Okay? And listen, I know people say, "Brother Doug, you don't understand what I've done." It doesn't matter what you've done. Okay? We're told in the Word of God that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. That means all the people in the balcony, all the people down on the floor today, that the blood of Jesus Christ can make it all go away. Forgiveness. Have you received that forgiveness? Do you have that personal relationship with Jesus? If not, according to the Word of God, if you'll call upon the name of Jesus today, you'll be saved. You go to Him and pray a prayer something like this: "Lord, forgive me of my sins. I know You're the Son of God who died for my sins. I know You rose from the grave. And I know You've promised to answer if I'll call. So Jesus, I'm calling upon You today for salvation." Now, this isn't a repeat after me prayer. You've got to put it in your words. But I would encourage you to experience the forgiveness of God. Maybe you're here today and you've been carrying a grudge. Time to get over it. Time to let it go. Maybe it's within the church. Maybe it's outside the church. It's time to let it go so you can get out of the ditch. And you can let others get out of the ditch. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for the beauty of Your Word. Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing and book of instruction You have given us. Help us, Lord, not to just be book readers. But help us to live it, to put it into practice, to love one another as Your disciples and to love those outside the church, those who are lost, those who are dying in their sin. Help us to show our love by sharing our faith, that, Lord, the world may see our good works and glorify You. We pray Your will be done in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.